Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse number 1. You'll find Ecclesiastes after the book of Psalms, after the book of Proverbs, and then comes Ecclesiastes. So it's somewhere in the middle of all those many, many pages in your Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1. I'm just going to start with one verse, and you'll see, I think, why in just a moment. But notice Ecclesiastes 12:1 says this, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." One of the things I remember George Thody saying often is that getting old is not for wimps. Anybody here remember him saying that? I think we've all probably heard that from him. Time and time and time again. But it's a very true statement. I do know this, that the older we all get, the more difficult life can be. And in the verses that follow, the verse that I just read, it mentions some of the things that you have to go through as you grow older. And I wanted to use this verse just to remind us, especially about what the verse is saying. If you notice again, it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Why would God say to us, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth"? Could it be because we have a tendency to forget? I think it's very true. All of us in this room have a tendency to forget, and sometimes we forget rather quickly. Sometimes we even quickly forget how much we owe to our Heavenly Father for all that He has done for us. Whether you realize it or not, a forgetful heart many times becomes a foolish heart. Many times an ungrateful attitude soon becomes a highway to ungodly living. I think God put this reminder here for all of us so that we would be encouraged to remember how very good and gracious God has been to us. And I'm going to just suggest as well that we remember what others have given for us as well. I mentioned a few moments ago in our service about the hundreds of thousands of men and women throughout the history of our country that have given their lives, paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have liberty and freedom to enjoy today. It's very sad, I think, to most veterans and to many other people that so many don't realize the great price that was paid. And Memorial Day weekend is more or less just looked at as a three-day weekend, a time to have a picnic, maybe to go to the park or go to the lake or, you know, do something fun and exciting, and nothing wrong with that necessarily, but we dare not forget that ultimate price that was paid by so many to give us the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy today. Along with that, of course, is God's goodness and God's grace. And I'm going to try to combine all of that today in the outline, because I want to speak to you today about some very important things that we all should remember. And I just call this little outline very simply, "A Time to Remember." A time to remember. I'm going to read the verse one more time and then pray, and then I'll get into the points of my outline. You notice again the verse says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful country called America and for all the liberties and freedoms that we enjoy. And Lord, you know me better than I know myself. I still enjoy a picnic. I still enjoy going to the lake. I still enjoy getting together with family and friends and doing all kinds of things that I was referring to a moment ago. But It is also important that we don't forget the reason for the day, and that is the ultimate sacrifice that was paid by so many, many people. Men and women who are looking back now, just kids, really, just children. 18, 19, 20 years old, 21, 22, but just in the very beginnings of the prime of their life have died and sacrificed themselves so that we could have the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy. Please help us to never forget that, Lord. In many, many ways, the pages of our history have been bathed in the blood of men and women who sacrificed themselves for us. Thank you for their sacrifice and for their families who had to go on and live on without them because of that great sacrifice. Please, Lord, would you bless this message today and what I'm going to try to bring and encourage the people about this morning, that we might remember their sacrifice and also the sacrifice and blessings of God as well. Help me, please. Give me wisdom to know what to say and even how to say it, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, I would like for us to remember the freedom that God has given us. Remember the freedom that God has given us. I can't speak for you, I can speak for me. I was born into this country in 1954. April of 1954, the news was brought to my parents that they had had a little baby boy that was just cute as a button. I mean, just... Nobody knew for sure exactly what I would become, of course. And I know at that time, I'm sure, my dad and mother had no idea that I would ever be doing what I'm doing today. And throughout most of my life, I didn't even have any idea that I'd be doing what I'm doing today. But God knew, and God had a plan for me. And hopefully I'm fulfilling that plan for him. But God allowed me to be born here. I think most of us in the room this morning can probably say the same thing. God allowed me to be born here, and God also allowed me to live here and stay here and remain here. I mentioned the flags up here that are with me this morning. My dad's flag is over here on my left side, and my father-in-law's flag is over here on my right side, and both these two gentlemen served in the military, and I also served in the military, and so did my wife, Sarah. In fact, we met in the military. I was speaking with someone that, I won't mention the name, but somebody that most all of you here know just the other day, and we were talking about the VA healthcare system that we both are privileged to be a part of, and I'm so very, very thankful for all the service and all the treatments that I get at the VA healthcare system, and I'm blessed to be able to live in Stoughton so that I can go to the VA hospital in Madison, and they have given us, in the years that we've been here in Stoughton, great care. Before I came here, of course, I was in Plainview, Texas, and we got most of our health care there through the VA at a clinic in Lubbock, and then when we had to use the hospital system, it was in Amarillo, and one is north of us and one is south of us, but we had great care when we were there as well. And when we moved up here, of course, we just had to let them know that we moved up here, and all of our records transferred without a problem. And we've had, again, great, great service. Many of you know that in November of 24, I had a heart attack and I had triple bypass surgery, and all of that was covered by the VA healthcare system. Amen. You can imagine that would be thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars. And they took very good care of me, and had some great doctors and nurses, I'm so very thankful for that. You don't know this yet, but I'll tell you today. In the month of July, I'm going to have cataract surgery. I know you're out there, because I can hear you like right now. So I know that you're out there. Truthfully, I can see you, but I'm having more and more trouble, you know, seeing print and things like that. Any of you that have already had cataract surgery, you know what that's like. And so it's scheduled for me in the month of July. And here's another great thing about the VA healthcare system. I spoke to them about my issues because I was having some trouble seeing. I got I got these glasses, not this very pair, but I got my most recent prescription in the month of December last year. And many of you know that I tripped and fell outside the back garage door. And I fell just flat on my face. And I had a big scar on my nose for, you know, a little bit there. But I wrecked the glasses. I scratched up the frame and the right lens. And I went back to the place where I got my glasses. And they said, oh, we can't fix that one lens. In fact, we can't even replace that one lens. You need to get a whole new set of glasses. So I liked the frames that I had picked out, you know, and they had another set of frames like that, but I had to pay for a whole new set of lenses. Well, then, you know, and I don't know if the fall had anything to do with it or not, I noticed my eyes getting progressively worse, and I was having more and more trouble with print. And so if you notice me holding my hymnal more and more, it's because, you know, I need the print up closer so that I can see the words in the hymnal, and my notes, you know, I need to be able to see those as well. So anyway, I went back to the eye doctor, and I went to a different eye doctor this time. And he said, after his exam, he said, I'm sorry, I can't prescribe a new pair of glasses for you.
Amen.
And I said, why not? And he said, because you have cataracts, and you need surgery. And the right one is worse than the left, and which I knew that. But so I would suggest that you go to wherever your health care is taken care of and start that process. And so I contacted the VA, and they said, we're already booked out to December. And I didn't want to wait till December. I'm impatient that way. And so I said, well, they said, we're already booked out to December, but we can farm you out to somebody in the UW system, because the VA is very good about that. By the way, the two hospitals are connected. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you can actually walk from one to the other in the basement of those two buildings, but I've done that before. But anyway, we can hook you up with the VA, with the UW system, and they'll probably be able to get you in a little bit sooner. So I went through all their exams, and man, it was the most thorough eye exam I have ever had in my whole life. But the doctor said to me, yep, you've grown a really nice cataract in your right eye, and the left one's not far behind, so you need to have surgery. And anyway, the bottom line of all this long story that I'm telling you is it's scheduled for July 7th, and then 2 weeks later, the left eye. And so eventually you're going to see me standing up here with a patch over one eye, and I'll be preaching with just one eye. That ought to be fun for you and for me. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, it'll be a patch on the other eye, and that'll be lots of fun, too, for you and for me. But I'm going to do it. Lord willing, I'm going to do it. So I just want you to know that the VA healthcare system, that's what I'm all going through here, is all because of the military and my service in the military and Sarah's service in the military. We both have that benefit of VA healthcare, and they have taken such great care of us. I understand that there are soldiers, military personnel who have not had great care, but we have, haven't we?
Amen.
And I was telling this gentleman who works there at the hospital how appreciative we are of it. And every time, and I mean this sincerely, every time we get health care through the VA system, I tell the people that are helping us, thank you for the service that you provide for us. It's been wonderful. And we have no complaints. And we don't. How do I know? That could change tomorrow. But so far, it's been wonderful. Where are you going with all this, Pastor? I'm not really sure. I'm glad I have my notes. I wish I could see them. But I'm glad I have my notes. I'm speaking about the freedom that God has given us. And we have freedom because there were men like these two men who served in the military. Because there were men like myself and ladies like my wife who served in the military. But don't miss this. Because there were men and women who were willing to put their lives on the line and willing to have their lives snuffed out so that we could have the freedoms and liberties that we have today. Memorial Day is not just so that we can have a day off or a picnic or go to the lake. Memorial Day is so that we remember the men and women in military uniform who gave their lives so that we could have liberty and freedom. Now, beyond those men and women, of course, is a God in heaven who loves us enough to allow us to be born and raised and live in this country. He watches over us and he protects us and he takes care of us. And I'm going to say, not only has the VA health care been good to us, but so has my wonderful Heavenly Father. Amen. He has been tremendous to us. All of us have been blessed beyond measure just to be here, just to live here, just to enjoy all the benefits of the liberties and freedoms that America offers to each one of us. Why are there hundreds and thousands of people every year who are trying their best to get to America? Why? Because of the liberties and freedoms that we enjoy here. I realize there's lots of issues there that should be dealt with concerning our immigration system and people coming in, you know, illegally. That's, I think, been fixed somewhat under the recent presidency. But still, people are longing to be here. And my own opinion is this. You don't have to agree with this. And it's going to sound kind of harsh, I suppose. But anybody who does nothing but complain about America and you don't like America, why don't you go somewhere else? Because there's a lot of us who really do like it here. So I'll even help, you know, I'll chip in a dollar or two. Get yourself a plane ticket or a bus ticket or, well, not a bus. Well, I guess you could take a bus to Mexico or Canada, but get a plane ticket or get a ship, boat, whatever, sail. Get yourself a ticket and go somewhere else if you don't like it here. Stop being part of the problem. Start being part of the solution. Start praying for America. Start being a good citizen. Start, you know, voting and making your voice heard and so forth. We have been given a great privilege to live here in America. And we need to remember the freedom that God has given us. God has given us wonderful things just to allow us to be here. And we need to remember that God gave it to us. And men and women, like we're speaking about Memorial Day weekend, have laid down their lives to preserve it for us. And we must never forget that. Now, there is also not only freedom just to live here in America, there is also freedom to know God and have a relationship with God through what His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did for us on the cross of Calvary. He made it possible for me and for you to have a relationship with God the Father and to know Him personally and to have the promise that one day we'll be with Him forever in heaven. I think that's pretty wonderful. How about you? I'm glad that I have that promise from Him in His Word. Jesus gave His life. He put His life on the line for you and for me so that I could enjoy the freedom from sin and its consequences. By the way, the ultimate consequence of sin is that place called the lake of fire. I get to miss that because of salvation. Thank you, Lord. Must never, ever forget the sacrifice that He made on my behalf and your behalf. So number one, remember, again, this is just simply entitled, A Time to Remember. God said here in His Word, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Number one, remember the freedom that God gives us. Number two, right on the heels of that quickly, remember the greatness and glory of God. Remember the greatness and glory of God. The Bible says in 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. The Apostle John is telling us here very simply that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, you know what, friend? That's not you and that's not me. That's God. In Him is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. He is light. Another place in the Bible says that He lighteth every man that cometh into this world. In other words, He wants men and women to know the light and to walk in the light and to live in the light. The person who knows God in a personal relationship with Him and looks to Him and depends on Him will never be disappointed with Him because of His greatness and His glory. God's character will not allow Him to disappoint you. You may disappoint Him, but He will never disappoint you. Many years ago, I know I've used this before, and it's very brief. But many, many years ago, Sarah, you'll remember this, we owned a 1966 Ford Galaxy 500. It was maroon in color, four-door. It could be. It could be still going. I'm not real sure. But it was a wonderful car. It really was. And in those days, they had a lot more metal in the car than they do today. And I remember on the dashboard of that 1966 Ford Galaxy, there was enough metal in it that I could put on there, which I did, Sarah, you remember this, a little magnet that just says this, Jesus never fails. You remember that little magnet? Jesus never fails. What a good reminder. Not only then, but even to this very day. He does never fail. Ever. Now, I have failed him many times. I'm guessing probably you have failed him many times as well. But God never fails us. His character won't allow that. You and I should remember how great and how wonderful and how faithful our God is. There's never been a time that he has failed me. There's never been a time when he's failed you. By the way, there never will be. This is the greatness and glory of God. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is perfect in every way. God is perfect in everything. God is perfect in everything he does. I can't say that about me. I can't say that about you. I can say that about him. Remember, first of all, the freedom that God gives to us. Number two, remember the greatness and glory of God. Right on the heels of that, quickly, remember number three, the rights of God. Revelation 4, verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. We live in a day and a time today when we hear a lot of people talking about their rights. My right to an abortion. Let me put it another way. My right to kill my infant child. Can you tell I'm against abortion? Abortion is murder, by the way. But we hear that, don't we? My right to have an abortion. Or my right, I realize that I killed someone, or I stole something, or I, beat the tar out of someone. But my rights as someone who's been accused of a crime. I don't know what you think, but in some cases it seems to me, and maybe it's just me, it seems to me that the criminals have more rights than the innocent. Or, how about my right to use or misuse my body as I wish? Or, my right to pollute my mind or the minds of others in order to make money. Now I realize all these are extreme examples, but we hear people talking about my right to do X, Y, and Z. And many of those things are very wrong and very evil and violate God's word and God's principles. So I want to turn this around and ask you this question. What about God's rights? Remember, the Bible says, for thy pleasure they are and were created. What about God's rights as the creator? Does he have any rights as the creator? Well, I think he does. What about God's rights as the owner? What about God's rights as the redeemer? What about God's rights? Doesn't God have the right to expect our worship? Doesn't God have the right to expect our obedience? Doesn't God have the right to expect our devotion? Doesn't God have the right to expect our trust and reliance? What about God's rights? I think as we consider this thought of a time to remember, yes, we should definitely remember the freedom that God gives to us, both through the military and also by way of salvation, the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. Yes, we should remember the greatness and glory of God. And right tied with that, we should remember the rights of God, God's rights, over all this that we're enjoying and that we're living. And of course, our lives, it's been a little while since I've mentioned this, but can you tell me what's keeping your heart going? Or maybe better said, can you tell me who is keeping your heart going? Or who is it that's keeping your lungs working? Or maybe we don't think about this often enough. Who is it that keeps the delicate balance of all the minerals and things, you know, that you need to survive and to live normal living? Who is it that keeps all that working like it's supposed to? Isn't that God? What about his rights? Well, that leads me to this thought. So right on the tails of that, right on the tied in with it, number four, we should remember the judgments of God. The judgments of God. Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world by in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. You know, throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, we're reminded that there's a judgment day coming. And there is a judgment day coming. The judgment day is going to deal with two different classes of people, those who are saved and those who are not saved. Those who are saved, of course, don't you love this? They won't have to answer for their sin. That's a pretty good deal. Your sin was all taken care of at the cross. Thank God for that. But you will have to answer, and I will have to answer, how did we live our life from the time we got saved and forward? That's what we're going to answer for. So there's a judgment for the saved. And then there's a judgment for those who are not saved. They don't know Jesus as their Savior. Now here's the bad news for them. They are going to answer for their sin. And they'll also have to answer for how they live their life. Double whammy. The Bible describes it very clearly. There's the book of life, and their name's not in there because they've not been saved. And then there's other books, plural, that record all their deeds. All this is found in Revelation chapter 20. By the way, you can read it for yourself. When the judgment, this judgment, is all done, they get condemned and sent into the lake of fire. I don't want any part of that. How about you? I want no part of that. But there's a judgment day coming. Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You know, we need to remember that. That's going to really be a sobering day. I think it's going to be a surprising day, don't you? Anybody here think like me that there'll be folks who made it into heaven that we weren't sure would make it into heaven? I think there'll be some like that. In fact, as I think, because the Bible describes, you know, for the Christian, the ones who's been saved, God describes that there'll also be rewards handed out. And anybody here think like me that there'll be folks that'll get rewards that we weren't sure would get rewards? What? Are you sure? Lord, you know what you're doing? They really deserve that? But see, God knows all that, doesn't he? And then there might be others that we think should be getting some big reward, and nope, maybe something small, maybe a little trinket. What? Are you sure? Lord, do you really know what you're doing? Oh, yes, he knows what he's doing. And then, of course, the other judgment day where those who don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, those who still have to answer for their sins, those who have rejected God's free gift of salvation, they're going to be condemned. And forever and ever and ever, there'll be eternity in the lake of fire. We should remember that that day is coming. Pastor, you have any idea when? No. Sorry, sure don't. That means it always pays to be ready. It always pays to be ready. We're talking this morning about a time to remember. I've got one more. A time to remember the freedom that God has given us. A time to remember the greatness and glory of God. A time to remember the rights of God. A time to remember the judgments of God. And then lastly this morning, a time to remember the love and grace of God. The love and grace of God. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 11 says this, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." Friend, I want you to know that God is very merciful, very long-suffering, very compassionate. He is full of love and grace. Yes, he is holy. Yes, he is righteous. Yes, he is perfect. Yes, there will be a judgment, and it will be difficult in many ways, but God is also kind and gracious and loving. And believe it or not, friend, this is true. He comes to us to begin this relationship with us. And the only reason men and women, boys and girls, do not have a relationship with him is because they did not want it. God has already done his part by giving his son to be our Savior. God has already done his part by giving his son to die on the cross, be buried, and 3 days later rise from the dead. God has already done his part by providing for us the gentle persuasions of the Holy Spirit of God to receive his free gift of salvation. God has already done his part by providing for us many, many, many warnings in the Word of God, and also through sermons and Bible preaching and teaching and so forth. God has reached out to men and women, boys and girls, in so many different ways. And in our country especially, there are so many opportunities to receive the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Which is why the Bible says, by the way, about us, "To whom much is given, much shall be required." God is so gracious and loving and kind. He has made it possible for us to have a relationship with him. We should each make sure that we have that relationship, and we should each do our best to tell others about how to do this. You know, it's a simple thing. We need to remember the love and grace of God. Believe it or not, friend, God doesn't want to condemn people to hell and the lake of fire. Which is why the Bible says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," listen, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The next verse says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." See, God doesn't want to condemn anyone. He wants to save everyone. The only ones who won't be saved are those who don't want it. The choice is theirs to make. No wonder the songwriter put it this way, "Oh, how he loves you and me." And friend, he does. So as we think about things this Memorial Day weekend, I want to encourage you to remember what this verse that we started out with says. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." This is a time for us to remember. Remember the freedom that God has given to us. Remember the greatness and glory of God. Remember the rights of God. Remember the judgments of God. But also remember the love and grace of God. Friend, he loves you. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, You can receive that free gift today. Please don't leave without it. Remember the little slogan? Don't leave home without it. Well, don't leave earth without salvation. Because if you do, you will regret it forever. It's a free gift that God wants to give to you if you've not received it yet. And if you've already received it, please remember to be thankful for all these and, wow, 100 other things. God's been so good. Would you stand with me, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. A time to remember. Heavenly Father, as we close the sermon this morning, thank you for these hopefully gentle reminders to all of us about, first of all, our freedoms and our liberties and those who provided it for us. And then the God who is behind all of it and ultimately responsible for all of it, for your protection, for your provision, for all the blessings that you shower upon us. And then for these other things that I mentioned just in passing quickly, thank you, Lord, for being who you are and what you provide for us. May we live a life that's honoring and pleasing to you always. And may we live a life also that is honoring to those fallen soldiers who paid the ultimate price. Bless this invitation. Have your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.